This morning's scripture reading will be from Proverbs chapter 31, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 9 from the English Standard Version. Again, that's Proverbs 31, verses 1 through 9. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed, and pervert the rights of all of the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing, and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty, and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all those who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy.
And it says that he wrote this, and he's remembering what his mother taught him. And so some of you are going to ask yourself the question, well, this was a king. What does this have to do with me, you know, as far as, you know, my judgment? So, but I think, you know, as a Christian, you know, we can look at this, and we can draw some parallels here. We can make a few observations and kind of use this as well in our life and some of the advice that's given here. First of all, let's take a look at a couple of verses here. One of the interesting things about the name Lemuel, there's a lot of, scholars are divided on who this is. But I believe that that the word, the Hebrew word, means belonging to God or toward God. And historians believe Lemuel to be Solomon, at least some of them. And other scholars believe Lemuel to be Masa, a king that was actually not even an Israelite, and that he was the descendant of Ishmael. But nonetheless, this person knew about God and understood by the teachings of his mother some in-depth and some very profound things, and things that I think as Christians that we need to know. It's interesting, too, that when you look at the Hebrew word Lemuel, it seems like, you know, you go through and you look at the words in the Old Testament and the names that are given to certain people, and the name that's given to Solomon, which means peace or peaceful. I can remember Brother Shook, when he was here, you know, he's passed already, but I remember I came through the back door there, and he said, "Hey, Jedediah, how you doing?" You know, he reached out and said, "Hey, Jedediah," and I said, I remembered that word in the scriptures, and it's actually in 2 Samuel 12, verse 24 and 25. But the point is that name means loved by the Lord, and it was given to Solomon by God through Nathan the prophet. This is after the first child had died, after David had sinned with Bathsheba, and then this is the second child, Solomon, and then he was named Jedediah. And what God was doing was letting David know, look, I realized what happened before, but now this child I love. And Nathan told him that. And we know later, you know, God had a close relationship with Solomon and asked, you know, what he would want, and he answered correctly, and then God gave him the wisdom. And then Solomon and God relationship increased, but later in his older age, it didn't. It declined. But anyway, we know that in 1 Chronicles 22 and passages like that, Solomon's two names showed his kingdom would be one of peace, and also that Israel would be given peace from their enemies, and that name is associated with that. And he was given rest because of his love for Solomon and for his father David. Remember when the kingdom, God was going to divide the kingdom because of the idolatry of Solomon. He says, I'm not going to divide it in your day because of your father David. You know, he was faithful to me. Even though he sinned, he repented. But the names in the Hebrew was given to associate God's love toward man, to remind them of God and his love and his relationship with them. And it openly sort of also describes or discloses one's closeness to God. When the name Lemuel is used, it associates God's nature with man's and describes through behaviors and actions how one is to conduct themselves or how the blessings to that person are going to come about. In the case of Solomon, you know, being peaceful, well, your kingdom's going to have peace in your days, and I'm not going to allow your enemies to come in and to oppress you. So I thought that was interesting when you look at that name Lemuel, that is belonging to God. You can see that there is a deep meaning here. So Solomon is reminding himself of the teachings of Bathsheba. Some scholars believe that here in this first part of the passage that she's giving him this advice because he married Pharaoh's daughter. And he drank too much wine at the wedding feast. That's what some scholars believe. And that when he went to sleep, he slept with the key to the temple under his pillow. You know, which is kind of. But nonetheless, she told him that it is not for kings to drink wine or strong drink. And if you go to Proverbs 31 there, and you look at that, it says, lest they forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. And so one of the interesting things that, you know, when I go back to what I was talking to you about when somebody had asked me, hey, why don't you have a drink? Why don't you loosen up a little bit? That's really one of the first things that I personally think about. Am I going to forget the law of God? Will that cause me to do something that would be contrary if my senses are dulled, or if I go back to that caveman state, you know, if I drink too much, am I going to sin and perhaps cause someone else to be hurt or harmed, like maybe a DUI or, you know, drunk driving or something of that nature? But you know, it's interesting too that you briefly, you know, you go down, I didn't have Miles read this, but if you go down to verse 10, this is not verse 9, it says, who can find a virtuous wife? Her price is far above rubies, and I'm not going to talk about that today, this morning. But I just thought it was interesting that the king's mother knew what a virtuous woman was, and that if you look at verses 3 and 4, one of the first things she mentions is for men or for kings not to chase after women and do those things that destroy kings in verse 3 and 4. And then not to drink wine. He knew that for a king to be effective, he had to have the respect of his people, and he had to have a lifestyle free of fornication and adultery. And secondly, wine, you know, and drinking and loosening and numbing your senses would just lead to that sort of behavior. And so she seems to be one of those women that can just tell you the first couple of things that would just come right off the top of her head that she held in contempt, with contempt or in disdain. And I've heard women, especially some of the guys I'd go over and work on their car, and I'd hear their women talking to them or their wives talking to them, and they would talk to them about, you're not going to go out and to the bar tonight, or you're not going to drink tonight, or anything like that, right? You know, and she would, you know, they would, you know, chastise them for these things. And so even people of the world understand, although they don't always, you know, abide by, you know, everything their wife tells them, they know better. And so we know that verse 5 states that they forget the law and it perverts judgment. And what that means is, like I said before, you know, in the medical field, you know, you see what alcohol is actually in the Navy is considered a drug. It's considered a drug in the civilian world. And when it's abused, it can dull the mind and cause you not to be able to think with higher cognitive ability. It impairs your higher cognitive function, and you sort of start thinking on this, like I said, caveman sort of, you know, IQ level, okay? And that's what drinking does. And, of course, we'll talk a little bit about that later. But, again, like I said, you know, kings in the Old Testament, like Solomon, for instance, you know, they had to handle the affairs of people every day. You remember the instance where this woman was claiming to have a baby that, you know, wasn't hers, and she wanted that baby back, and I'm not going to go into the whole story, but we know that Solomon would make judgments, and he would say, well, you can have the baby or you can't have the baby, and he had to use sound judgment, and he very cleverly, you know, got the child back to its rightful mother. We all know that story. But the point is that they made those sort of judgments every day, all day long, just like a judge would today. And, you know, we as Christians, we also have to make judgments every day, just like a king. And if we're abiding in the Scriptures, in the Word of God, we have to practice it each and every day of our life. And when temptation comes, we have to have the ability to think back, remember God's law, and then either, omit, you know, a sin or not fall into it, resist the temptation, or give into it. You know, there's sins of omission and sins of commission. You know, we get up in the morning on Sunday, are we tempted to not come to church? Well, that's a sin of omission if we don't come like we're supposed to, as far as Hebrews 10:25, you know, forsake not the assembling. But the point is, I'm not getting on you about assembly, but the fact is there's certain things every day of our life, especially on Wednesday night and Sundays, we go through our head as what we're to do as far as being faithful. And so we have to have a clear mind. Another reason not to drink is that many people have a tendency to admit, I don't need to forget my misery. Well, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. I need to forget my poverty and my misery. A lot of people, I know you've probably heard them say, well, you know, I drink a little bit because it helps me to handle stress better. It helps me to forget my misery. And it's interesting that the Bible teaches that God doesn't want you to do that. That he wants us to have the type of relationship with him that we shouldn't worry or want, okay? It's like Jesus said, you know, consider the lilies of the field. They don't spin, neither do they toil or work, but God takes care of them. You know, we think of that passage, and we think people quote that all the time, but that passage is teaching us that with God, who, like, you know, Ralph Walker was talking about, you know, when God can create something out of nothing and take care of just about everything, well, who are we that we should worry about where we're going to get our food from, or our clothing, or our shelter? God is so in control that you have no idea of his power. And so when we do that and we start to become afraid, and we start to seek some other means to rather than having faith in God to, have us forget our misery and our poverty, whatever way that you want to interpret the word poverty, because there's some different interpretations of that. That tends to make us seem faithless when we turn to, alcohol. Now, some people say, Randy, why are you telling me about alcohol? I don't have a problem with it. Well, sometimes as Christians, like I said before, we need to be able to answer people when they ask us why we don't engage in that sort of activity. And because a lot of people, even though they understand, maybe they need to be reminded and try to understand why it's not good to engage in those activities and to be able to give an answer to those people, see. And also, too, going back to those problems that some people try to drink away, those problems will never go away unless we try to solve them with a sober mind. And a lot of people sometimes don't realize to really solve a problem or do away with a hard problem, you have to go to the heart of the problem. You have to go to the heart of danger, okay? Then we figure out which direction that we can go. Sometimes having our back against the wall is good because then we can learn or know what direction to take after. And using God as our strength, you'll find that there's always an escape. There's always an escape. And God is with you. You should never again be afraid. There isn't anything that without his help that you need to worry about. And God, though, it's hard for God to help people, though, that don't have a sober mind. It's God's doing his part, but also we have to do our part and maintain a sober mind. And when I say sober mind, it's not just being sober from alcohol either. It's having a sober mind and knowing the Word of God and studying it and developing your mind to make the right decisions. That's a sober mind. The word holy, I said this before, in the Greek, the word hagios means set apart, means sanctified. It's interesting, though, that the English translation or the Anglo-Saxon translation, H-O-L-Y, actually means whole and well-rounded, healthy. And that's where, the word holy comes from, H-O-L-Y. And I like that definition because it was hard for the English to really understand God's nature. And so, they think of a word, well, what would we associate with God? Healthy, soberness, well-roundedness. And that's what one who maintains study in the Word of God, he is morally healthy. But God, again, cannot help someone who does not have this type of mind. He needs to be able to make the right decision using sound judgments on his teachings in Christ. Look at verse 9 real quick. I got a few more minutes. Look at verse 9. It says, "Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy." It's interesting that verse 9 refers to the type of people that you will end up having as friends. In this case, the dumb, those will also be ones you will also defend. You've heard the expression, birds of a feather flock together. You share in everything. If you're drinking, you're going to have drinking companions. And you're going to be getting each other out of trouble. And there's a bit of irresponsibility that is there as well. And so as a king, if he's drinking, he is not pleading the cause of the poor and needy. His mind is on other things. And I think that's the point, whether you agree or not with what I just said. Verse 10 says, to use good judgment and plead the cause of the needy, that takes a person of character. It is not self-indulgent. One who looks after the affairs of others and not himself. He is self-confident in his relationship with God, and he practices righteousness. His affairs are in order, and rather than indulge in his prosperity, the king watches over the needy and the poor. He doesn't need to keep building himself up. He doesn't need to keep indulging in things of the world. Now his focus is on something else. It's something that now he can help people rather than help himself all the time. And so a person who falls into alcoholism is constantly indulging in himself. It's interesting, though, you go to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and you look at verse 21. And you see in Galatians, you know, Brother Mike, when I was first started preaching when I was young, I can remember he would say, these are the absolutes. These are things that you just can't do. If you do these things, you need to repent quickly. Why? Because in the latter part of the passage it says, and they that do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you notice in there, one of those things is drunkenness. Drunkenness. And here, drunkenness is equated with adultery and fornication and witchcraft. And also there's strife and heresy, disunity with brethren. And then one of the things he says in there, outburst of wrath. And then another thing he says is such like. Such like. And when he talks about drunkenness, and on down he says, and such like. And so when we look at that word, I remember Brother Shook used to always say, and such like means drugs. You know, like if you're getting drunk and it impairs you mentally, then this could also be talking about drugs. You know, if you're into that. Because drugs definitely can pervert judgment and cause one to forget the law. So remember what Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. In Matthew 4:4. It's hard to remember if we hinder our minds from functioning, if our minds aren't functioning properly, we're not going to remember every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The words that we study for so many years through just a few acts can be forgotten that quickly. And so that's why I like Proverbs 31. It's one of the first passages that pops into my head when I am asked, why not have a drink? And that's all that I have. And now we'll be led in our prayer, and then we'll be dismissed to our classes. Who has the prayer? Okay, come on, Tim.